Welcome to Wellness Radio with Dr. Jeanette Gallagher as your host. Her show discusses topics of health, wellness, and spirituality and is about discovering your place in this great universe from your cells to the cosmos. Along with her guest, in casual conversation, she strives to ask the difficult questions that may be holding you back from a vibrant life and shares new ideas that may inspire you to make a change in your life that you only can see in your dreams. And now, here is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Wellness Radio. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher. It's a pleasure to have you with us here this evening. Tonight, we are going to take a very peaceful, loving, nurturing moment. That's what we're going to do. We're going to sit back, and I would encourage you to close your eyes and just reflect upon the conversation we're going to have this evening. It'll be with poetry, with love, with compassion, with expansiveness, with glory, and with honor of the heart and the soul. Today, my guest is Judy Mossavat. Her husband's book is Come, Sit in My Heart, A Sufi Speaks His Silence. Judy, thank you so much for joining us today. It's such a pleasure to have you with us.
Oh, you're welcome. It's a pleasure for me, too.
So, Judy, your husband, Ben Hossein Mossavat, has written this book of poetry, and it is, I think, so profound. From the moment I got it in the package and I opened it and looked at your husband's eyes on the picture, I said, oh, a soul. That is the conversation we'll have. Yes?
Yes. That's him. Mm-hmm. That says it all.
Yeah. I think sometimes we're looking for books these days and we're saying, tell me how to find peace. How can I get into my heart? How can I be one with God? And I think sometimes we just need to go into what I call the tendrils and the breezes of the sounds of our just existence. It's almost like sit in quietness, listen to the breeze, smell the flowers. And whatever drifts up for your heart is really what it's all about. I mean, that sounds so simple, yet we've spent billions in the world trying to capture that, don't you think?
Yes.
So, Judy, can you tell me a little bit about your husband?
My husband, Hossein, was, unfortunately, he passed away last year, but he's still with us all. He's a very unique person. I've never met anybody else like him. He was so he was so full of love in so many different ways. And he helped people bring that love out in themselves. Mm-hmm. And his poetry helps that too. Because people can take those poems and read them anywhere, and they can bring that out with themselves and their friends and their family. Mm-hmm. And it's quite magical.
It's almost as if his words have captured a tendril in the universe, and as he shares his words, they tend to spiral to your heart, and then you share that essence with the next person. It's almost like, sometimes you read a book and you're like, oh, I read it, put it away, and you never come back to it. Or people
yes.
say, oh, well, I need to read that prayer book because I have to repent. Everything's wrong and the world is an unrighteous place. But really, his book is nothing of that. It's nothing of the worldly stuff. It's truly about that, of that tendril of the universe, yes?
That's exactly true. He, in one of his poems, he says, I'll leave that to the ordinary people, the tendrils of the earth, or the talking about things. Or he talks about silence, and he talks about hearts meeting hearts, and that's where it all happens. That's where the only importance is.
Absolutely. You know, I'm a, every day I go out and I take at least 20, maybe 30 pictures of a tree, a bush, a leaf, a crack in the sidewalk, a rock, or the clouds. The clouds are my favorite thing. I probably have 50,000 pictures of clouds over the past just few years, you know. But I would take them and not even, I would take them, but not for a purpose. And so I'd go outside and click them all off, maybe within 5 to 10 minutes, came in the house. And then I would sit down and I would look at them and see what their magic was. And I can guarantee 50% of them, or sometimes 90%, I would say, look at that being. Look at that face. Look at that child in that cloud. Look at the heart on the tree. Or can you see that smiley face on the rock? And people are saying, what the heck? You know, where are you going? You know, and I think really, I think these type things, like what your husband did with writing his words, he needed to connect with that similar type tendril of the universe to be able to engage your being. I mean, in other words, if you're someone who's running 9 to 5 and then you've got another, you know, 5 to something midnight, another session, and you're kind of on that upward spiral, you're not going to be able to be within this space, do you think?
Well, I think that's where he's trying to help teach people that you can, because it's within you and you take it with you. And it changes things. It changes your perspective. It changes how you interact. It changes how you do things. And that's what's so important. It's not like you do this on your time off.
Right. But it also becomes one with you, so that when you eventually reflect back, you say, I'm done with that. And almost inevitably, your life will completely change to something else. Instead of being a life of the world around you, so to speak, you know, doing the material things, you almost become a life is the world around you, but in a different essence. Yes?
Yes.
Yeah, it's something that it's almost when you look and you engage and you just feel. It's like, why do you have to have all these silly conversations sometimes, you know?
It brings me to a poem of his that may help with that, which is why the book is called Come Sit in My Heart.
Mm-hmm.
May I read it?
Yes, please.
You have sat next to me long enough. Now is the time for you to come in and sit in my heart. The conversation which is taking place between us cannot be expressed in words. The stories that are within us can only be shared in silence. No one will hear us. No one will separate us again. We no longer need to seek safety. This is a state of belonging. So come in and sit in my heart. That's his invitation with this book and all his other books.
And sometimes people will say, what am I letting in? Is it something that's going to fix me? And you know, this conversation of my outer self and my inner self, or God or spirit or whatever it all is. I think if we strip away all of the labels and just sit with it, and that's what he's really saying, is labels truly are not the answers. And
no,
not of all of that outside belonging. It's almost, if you crack open, you know, your heart, what is truly there, right?
Exactly.
You know, it's an interesting journey when we go, as they say, to the heart. And people say, well, what is the heart? I know for myself, I've explored that over my many decades. You know, I'm in my 60s now. And I've come up with different versions of it. I've danced with it for a while. And then I've moved on to a different version of it. And eventually came to such, you know, as I say, it's just, I have no words. I have no description. I have nothing that can give it to you. It is something you have to get for yourself. And it is something that is deep inside you, you know?
I just want to say that's why his poetry is so poignant, because it describes it in words what's not describable in words.
Right.
If you can understand what I'm saying.
Right. I wanted to share one other poem, and I think it was right in the beginning, the very first one. It says, "I have come from you, for we are born within each other. This book is written about merging in the end. All that separates us is artificial. Just like looking at a rose, every eye, no matter what color, race, creed, or religion, whether poor, rich, pope, or prophet, will see the same beauty and intensity in that rose. And to me, that rose is the source of our lives. That is what brings us together. That is where we come from. That is where we go to. Let us realize that rose for each other." And I think, Judy, that, I've been so attached to roses my entire life, as I share about the Rose Project that I had. And it's just knowing that there's such tenderness, there's so much perfection and imperfection. There's glory, there's change, there's transformation. There's, you see roses different colors. You see them with thorns, you see them without. But yet everybody sees something so different. And when you say the rose, everybody has that feeling where it just drops them into their space. Yes?
Yes. Yes. He writes quite a few poems about roses, about flowers, about animals, about nature. I mean, it touches them so deeply. But roses, actually roses, a red rose is a sign of is a symbol of a Sufi, which is a person that doesn't really exist in the normal way, because they don't interact with people in the usual way. They're love.
Right.
And you'll find a lot of poems about roses of his.
Yeah, and I think we've gotten so far off course, you know, as humans. We've really gotten to the point where all of this other stuff is just so much outside of ourselves, you know. I even, you know, I've had a lot of other people on the radio would talk about, you know, get a coach, get a mentor, let them help you, let them find this. Oh, you're not doing this or you're not doing that. And I think at the time it's like, just sit down and breathe. And you're your own coach. You're your own mentor. You're your own being, because whatever you're seeking is that moment. That moment is truly all there is. You know, I work a lot with patients at the end of life. And we talk about this and we say, but look at what I'm leaving. I don't want to leave them, you know, and where am I going? I don't know where I'm going. So I'm running in fear from one end, and I'm running in fear, shame, guilt in the other end. And we're going, but all there is this moment, you know. Can you truly release all of that? And I think that's truly where we can say that your soul is a continuum versus saying your lifetime has ended. You know, we get so stuck in, I have to run to get my lifetime done. And it's like, no, that's not even what this lifetime is about, you know?
No.
It's, you know, Judy, I wanted to read this one last one. And your husband wrote, "I thought I knew. Then you came out of unknowing. I had to abandon everything to stand before you. Now I know what love is all about." I think when we shed all of our expectations about what love is or isn't. You know, we see people running from relationships. They say, oh, well, he didn't love me. And it's sort of like, oh, well, he didn't love me. And it's sort of like, well, they both had different expectations. It's almost like you don't even know the definition of the word. But then the definition of the word is just a material thing anyway. Love doesn't have a definition. Do you think love has a definition? Or do you think your husband has said that?
He talked about it all the time. So many, many poems, almost every poem if it's not about it, if it doesn't have a word in it, it's about it in some way or other. And it's like when it talks about letting things go, somebody talks about that. I think what they're talking about is letting, like you say, expectations. That's ego, you know,
mm-hmm.
something that wants to form it, to make it a certain way, like you know best, and yet it's like your heart knows best. And if you begin to trust it and follow it, you just might find a relationship that works.
Yeah. And to think sometimes to just be, as when we say, you know, we know but we really don't know, but we're just
yes.
present, you know, that just be present. And whatever, anything else, it doesn't, that's just, it isn't there. It's almost like I'm even actually, as we're speaking, I'm just going mouth open, hands open, you know, it's just like there's no words to come out because there aren't words all the time. You
right.
know, I find
that's
myself
right.
doing this quite often.
That's why it's a good thing to curl up somewhere with one of his books and just
yes.
let them feed you, let them enter you, let them form you. And he's not doing it, you're doing it. He's just a catalyst.
Today we discussed many life-changing concepts. Who do you turn to and how do you know what is best when faced with a health crisis? Dr. Jeanette is a patient advocate. She listens to the patient, the doctors, and the family, clarifies the health issues and concerns, then helps the patient make the best choices going forward. If you would like help implementing change into your life and health, we can talk and see where you are stuck and how to improve the quality of your life. Check the link on the bottom of today's show page or visit drjeanettegallagher.com to schedule a phone appointment today.
I was having a casual conversation with Judy today. As soon as I got the book, your husband's eyes were like, oh, this is a soul. Okay, so I'm sure
yes.
you understand that. And
totally.
When I was just, I said, you know, immediately to the PR person, they said, well, would you take Judy coming on? I said, yes. You know, I mean, I didn't understand. I said, you know, that it was definitely something I wanted to do. And I looked, opened the book, and it has the rose on the side of every pages. And I
yeah.
had, and this is truly like how we say that, I always believe our lives are like golden threads. The ones that weave together eventually will find. And the reason I say that is because I had the website domain, The Rose Project, for probably 30 years now. I'm in my 60s. And I would develop it and take it down and develop it and take it down, blah, da, 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 da. Go to psychics and intuitives and, oh, it's, you know, you're never going to use that name, da, 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 da. It's not the right way, whatever. However, I write all these, like, philosophical kind of words, like, people say to me, where's your book? And I'm like, what do you want me to justify? How many words do you want me to justify it in? And just so that you can hear it and feel like you're getting something from it. So I felt like I could never write a book. Do you know what I mean? But I've
mm-hmm.
got all of these like profound like words. Like they could be two words. It could be a sentence. It could be a paragraph. It could be my train of thought on a question. And I said, wouldn't that be good? Because that to me is like the rose thing. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
And I looked up before and I looked up about your husband and he was born on June 9th and so am I.
Oh, no.
Yes.
Amazing.
Yeah. And
not the
like,
same
there's,
year, though.
Right. There's so many golden threads in this story. Do you know what I mean?
Wow.
So there was the rose. You know what I mean? There was the same birthday.
Yeah.
There was, like, when I saw his face, it's like I've seen this face a million times. What shows us as common, shows us as different, shows us as one. Do you know what I mean? It's sort of
yeah.
like they're each different in their entirety. It's sort of like, yeah, well, that's the guy I used to date. That's not my husband. My husband's, you know, he's this, he's this, he's this. And no, not really. We're all one. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And it was interesting to see that, to be able to know that there's that concept there. I think sometimes when people get stuck is when they say, oh, but that's him. He was so profound and I'm a nothing. Do you know what I mean? How people separate themselves out. Do you know what I mean?
Yes. He would not say that. Yeah.
Right. He wouldn't say that. And neither would I say that. And I don't think that. Do you know what I mean? And
exactly.
Yeah. And it's funny because people would say to me, they'll say, well, you know, what do? You know, where's your stuff? You know, blah, blah, blah. And I would say to them, who do you want me to be today? Because they're really asking me about what level of engagement they wanted to interact with me. They didn't ask me anything about me.
Yes. Yes.
And I think you can understand this. And I know, you know, and I think that through this book, you know, these understanding of these golden threads are all there. Don't you think?
I think so. Yes. Did you know that his fourth poetry book is just being finished up right now?
Oh, no way. What's today's date? Today is the 14th. Hold on 1 second. So, 5 days ago, which is the 8th.
Yes.
I had like this profound thing. I mean, death was all around me. I could not. It was eating it, breathing it, smelling it, sensing it, going to sleep at night. It was all I could think of. And I got up in the morning, and I had to email on the 9th, and I said to my angel, I know this like angel lady, and I said, what is this thing with death? It's been around me for like 5 days now, and then now it's like it's everywhere. She says, I don't remember what she said, but anyway, I always get that someone's going to die around the time, and when I looked up on his thing, that was the date that he died.
And not only that, you said for 5 days,
mm-hmm.
he fell and hit his head on the cement on the 4th of March. So that was like 5 days, you know, 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th. That's 5 days.
Okay, so do you really want to listen to this? So prior to that, when I just couldn't take it anymore and I had to ask her, I had a dream and I was like laying down on a ground level. And I turned my head to the side, and I saw out my vision, my skull, my head. And it was just itself on a deserted desert.
Wow.
I know.
Huh.
So if you take it as these are valuable threads, and I always take it that people are always woven into our lives in different ways.
Yes.
And I would say that people say, oh, well, you know, this is my lifetime. I say, hootie tootie to you. You know, let me know when you hit your wall so that I can come talk to you, you know. Because I truly see things as I must have crossed many timelines with him. That's how I see it.
That's fascinating.
And I see it as we're still in an interwoven timeline because before this, so I took the book out and I was sitting here this morning and I opened it up and I said, I don't know. And I just started to cry. Not even reading it, just opening it. So I know that in that way, it all plays. Do you see?
Yes, I do. It's amazing that you're interviewing me about him. It all fits.
Right. That's what I'm saying. It's like when we're truly, I tried to explain this to somebody. I said, I'm the type that can, when I just sense with someone like this, I just put my hand on the book, and it's like my whole body can feel a different energy instantly. It does it. And I think when you're in that space, it's not that you're looking at someone, you're not seeking their soul, trying to find out their heart, trying to ask them questions. I think I cannot wait till we get to telepathy times because I think words are useless. That's why I can't do my book. I think it's just a waste of time. I think when you can just almost be in the space of someone else's energy, like almost like cross them together, that is so profound. Do you know, like when you give birth to a child or right at the time of conception or the time of being married, that split second, you can catch that. You can catch those pearls. But I also work with end-of-life people, and I get those same pearls. You know, when you can set your hand on top of their hand, and it's just, it does the same thing. I said, you know, you don't think, you don't have to do, you know, it's not anything. You don't have to say, oh, just relax or go within, whatever. It's like, just let it go. You know what I mean? Just, you know how when you're going to go to the store and you engage in someone's eyes and all of a sudden everything drifts away, even if you don't know them?
Yeah.
You know? And I think I got in really good practice with this when I was a dental hygienist. I worked for like 25 years, and I've seen hundreds of thousands of patients. And every single time when you put the chair back to start to clean their teeth, I would always, it was a rule that I would, in my head, and I didn't realize it until I reflected upon it several decades later, was that I would always engage their eyes. And it was my soul thing. So it was just rather interesting that we see these things. Do you know what I mean?
It sure is. I never thought of a dental hygienist as having those kinds of experiences, but sure, why not? Everybody can.
Right. That's the point, is that everybody can, and where can you find them to be an awareness for them? Well, so this, was this his first book or his third?
First.
Okay, and you said he has other, you have others?
Yeah, there are, well, the fourth one, they're reprinting it because they made a mistake, so it should be out pretty soon. They're just making the corrections and they're going to reprint it. And there are two others in between.
Wow.
The heart, if I hold you in my teardrop is one of them. That's That's dedicated to his mother, yeah. And then the next one is The Heart Whisperer. And then the one that's just coming out now is It's All About Love.
That brings into an awareness with people of different levels of connection, sort of like when you look at his eyes on the book, when you feel something inside the book. Do you have a connection? You know, like what are your connections with the world around you and everything, you know? Everybody,
and,
you know,
and,
so.
And you know who took that picture? You know who took the picture on the front?
Who, your son?
No.
You?
He did.
He took
his
own,
It's on the copyright page. He took his own photograph.
Ah.
Do
you know what it was? So it was looking, he probably said, this is a picture of me looking into my soul.
Probably, yes. Yeah.
So that's what
he took it. Yeah, he just took it. He was like,
yeah,
that.
if you look at it, there's little tiny flecks in his eyes. That's the mirror to your soul look.
Ah.
Yeah. So that's what he did.
I do miss him.
Oh,
yeah.
I'm sure. But you know what? See, conversations like this is what brings his spirit forth. Do you know what I mean?
Exactly.
So in other words, yeah, so my golden threads are now, like, dispersing back to you. It's sort of like when I say to people, when you die, you think that you die and it's linear existence. I say, no, find the other spiral thread that's created. So you just created a thread with me, and now it's going
to
spiral out. So, like, you probably never noticed
that.
Right, and yes, and it just spirals out. It's like little tiny threads. So I think that's really where the magic happens.
And you know what? I'll tell you real quickly what happened on on Saturday. The year anniversary of his passing was on last Friday. And so on Saturday, two really dear friends of ours who were in a group, a musical group, they put on a concert, and they had put three of his poems to music. And so they played those three poems, those three songs, and two of them they asked me to read the poems. And it was so beautiful. The people, all the people in the audience knew him and loved him, and it was such a wonderful remembrance of him and his poetry, and it was very moving. It was wonderful.
Yeah. And so what that did is created another spiral. In other words, it
exactly.
took his...
That's what I was thinking.
It took his breath and danced with the energies. That's how I see it.
Yes. Yeah. He talks about breath a lot in his poetry.
You know, because once you strip away all of that, there is just vast openness. You know, it's so interesting how...
Yes.
When we say our heart, and we think, you know, I spent a lot of time in heart surgery, and it was like, where's the heart? Oh, that organ right there. But then it stopped working. Well, where was the life force? Oh, my gosh, where did that go? You know? And
yes.
When we look at it, we say, what is truly out there, and how does all that fit in? And I think that's exactly what you were just saying is, what things are not... And how they almost don't have a definition otherwise, yes?
Yes.
Yeah. And I think in closing, that is such a wonderful way to say about his book, Come Sit in My Heart, is because what he's really saying is, I'm just sharing and just be in your moment. This is a wonderful book, Judy, that your husband wrote, and what I would recommend is you pick up the book and immediately notice his eyes on the front page. They definitely welcome you in. It's the eyes of the soul. And to be able to just put it on your side table and just read maybe a page and just set it down. And there's plenty of space along all the side of these pages to write your notes or your thoughts or what you're reflecting on, or even just to put your mark that you were present at reading it that moment. You know, I think sometimes we think books are just books, but I really find it that if you can hold it and engage in it, it really can create that moment for you, don't you think?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. And if I just want to say that if he were here and you were interviewing him, you get a whole experience that you'd mm-hmm. never forget. He was just engaging in such an incredible way, and I'm just glad that I can be here to echo, you know, his love and his way of seeing the world. It was something else.
Yes. And I hope, Judy, that you and I today have tried to bring his energy forth, to try to bring, as I call the golden tendril of the universe, how we crest timelines, how we feel as we read his words, how we listen to you and I having this conversation about his work. And it's really about we are also the tendril of his words, and we share it going forth. So I thank you so much for joining me to be able to have this conversation.
Thank you for inviting me. I've really enjoyed it. I appreciate it very much. And so does Hussein.
Oh, thank you so much. Judy, can you share with the listeners how to find out more information about where these books are published?
Yeah, he has a website.
Mm-hmm.
This is So Him. He wanted this to be the name of the website. A Wink for Your Heart .com.
Beautiful.
And the fourth book isn't on there yet because it's not complete, but soon it'll be on there. There is another one, winkforyourheart.net, and then there is Amazon and Barnes & Noble. So, you know, it's out there.
Well, Judy, it was such a pleasure to have you with us today to share our, as we say, our energy and our engagement with his message. So thank you so much.
Thank you. I am honored. I thank you very much. too.
Oh, you're so welcome.
Today we discussed many life-changing concepts. Who do you turn to, and how do you know what is best when faced with a health crisis? Dr. Jeanette is a patient advocate. She listens to the patient, the doctors, and the family, clarifies the health issues and concerns, then helps the patient make the best choices going forward. If you would like help implementing change into your life and health, we can talk and see where you are stuck and how to improve the quality of your life. Check the link on the bottom of today's show page or visit drjeanettegallagher.com to schedule a phone appointment today.